You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Carlos Moleon. He's talking to me from Madrid. Carlos, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Hi, Brainerd. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Carlos, we're going to talk about your work, but it is January 13th in 2021. Madrid's in a lockdown, but Madrid also had a record-breaking snow last week, right?
Yes, that's correct. We're still a bit snowed under.
So how was that? To talk about just the snow coming down, I mean, we're going to talk about your practice, but as an artist, I don't know where you are in Madrid, but how was that to see? What was that like?
Yeah, it was quite spectacular to see all these landscapes so familiar, suddenly covered in snow, where I hadn't seen Madrid in that way before. But also that led to a kind of sense of sadness soon, because all these trees were broken down and just a city not used to supporting such a heavy snowfall. But at the same time, as we'll talk soon, because I'm working around water in different states and how it circulates and how it creates forms and structures as it moves through landscapes and bodies, being immersed in this kind of icy landscape was quite inspiring as well.
So let's talk about that. Let's jump right into that, if that's a project that's upcoming. Let's talk about water. That certainly relates to the snow. And where are you at right now with that? Perhaps we should start with that. What's the project or what's the research with water?
Yes, I'm working on a project that will be for Madrid's city hall, and I'm looking at water and how it circulates and how through this circulation how it creates different structures and tissues, or let's say both in the body and outside of the body. So how it travels from let's say more geological formations to biological tissues and then into infrastructure, or how the built infrastructure somehow facilitates that circulation. But also there's a way of understanding all those structures as being a result of the properties of water, or somehow the agency of water as well, and how life and water are intimately related, not only as a substrate, let's say, or as a material, but also has some kind of agency or maybe spirit. It's not the right word to say, but it has its own way of building form and making itself.
No, yeah, that's fine to say, because there is more research we hear lately, in the sciences about what it means for certain elements to have agency, to have almost a consciousness, right, from certain types of animals to even water. That's what you're saying. There's some kind of energy or something there?
Yeah, I mean, we can only talk about that in metaphorical terms or through similes, right? Like making comparisons with ways of that as humans that we can understand those processes. But I guess consciousness is maybe it's like a very human-centric concept in some way, though there's more studies recently that can attribute consciousness to species like bees or even insects as they swarm. But there's definitely something in matter that is alive, So not only, life did emerge out of materials, but I think before, let's say, organic life, there was already a life within that, if we want to call it that, or a kind of agency. And also how, just through the evolutionary history of life, how water has been instrumental in creating those structures, or how life has shaped itself based on the physical properties of water. So the different states of water have shaped life and what's possible within life. And
how will that manifest as a project? What's happening? What will your research on that turn into?
Yeah, so I mean, I started just through my research on metabolism, looking more at digestive processes, and then I just somehow got really stuck in hydration and how that works, and then just that took me on a rabbit hole through in water. So now I'm really expanding at the moment. It's really expanding, but the materialization will be through a series of sculptures, let's say like fountains, where the water will be carried, but also the sculptures themselves will try to harness these properties we were talking about, like capillary forces or even the ways in which water reacts to different forms. So like, let's say, vortices or how water can be activated. It's very interesting, I guess, discourse on how water can be more or less alive, or how it can be revitalized, or how it can be a drain of its life force if it's put through certain processes. Like most water that we actually drink or encounter is heavily polluted or has been completely stripped away of its life force, let's say. So how these contraptions or sculptures can work as in a way to revitalize water itself.
Keep going. What happens next to that? Yeah, that's fascinating.
So I'm kind of following the whole I try to work on all levels, all scales, and realizing that actually every scale behaves differently. This is a concept that comes from science or from physics, like this concept called renormalization, where like every scale of physics kind of works in a way differently. So in a way, to understand a wave or to describe a wave of water, you don't need to understand how a molecule behaves, that kind of thing. So I'm kind of following it at different scales. I'm starting by talking to hydrogeologists of the region of Madrid to understand actually where the water of Madrid comes from. I guess the water we drink, of course, there's also rainfall and such, but then understanding how water and earth interact, and then how that has been historically pumped and channeled and circulated for human use. So in a way, like the birth of the first water infrastructures, and looking at those forms and getting inspiration from that. Also working with materials that have similar properties to fluid themselves, like glass, bronze, even ceramics. And then looking at how they behave as fluids and what kind of forms can be used to create these shapes or these changes in state in water.
And so what will happen with that information? You'll understand more about this whole process of how it's moving through a variety mediums, our bodies, pipes, all these things. How will that be presented in terms of?
I created a series of sculptures with different components in these materials I've listed before or mentioned, that kind of draw inspiration from those forms and kind of water creates. Structures that derive
from water. Let's talk about one of the possible sculptures. They'd be using what materials? If we could talk about one of them, it could be a past sculpture too. But just to get a sense of the materials and how it might take up space.
Yeah. So I'm working on a series of clay or ceramic pipes that are kind of modular, and those have and the shapes of the pipes are not just a kind of industrial. Like a conveniently industrial shape that's easy to produce, but rather more of a biologically inspired shape that helps the circulation of water without necessarily a pump, let's say, which is how fluids behave in bodies, and not, it's just the heart is not just this pump, it's like this kind of engineering metaphor of the body as the heart being the pump, but also the veins and arteries do have particular properties that propel our blood into different tissues. So looking at those networks to create like a clay plumbing, so to speak. But then also looking at the not only at the kind of biological and more, let's say, science base or those kind of more formal aspects, but also looking at the symbolic life of water as well, and how it has been celebrated through fountains, and how it has a rich imaginary or iconography in its fountains, and so in a way I see fountains as a kind of spaces where water would surface from this hidden infrastructure, so that like then creating a series of faces, these would be made in bronze, where the water would sprout. I mean, it's quite common to see mythological figures just spitting out water, let's say. But, so we're looking at this.
That's so interesting. So that there would be those elements too, these figures, these faces in bronze that would be spitting out water?
Yeah, that's, I mean, at the moment it's still all in sketches, but yeah, that's the idea. Like the interface or the final moment where the faucet, right, that place where water emerges has been symbolically loaded in the past, and I think maybe that quality or that respect for water has been lost because it's such a kind of a commodity, at least in our times. That might change as some of us are aware. Like there's a big water crisis, and it has been listed in the futures market as it may be a scarce commodity, and at least in Western society, it's definitely a scarce in other societies. So I think the banality of good water has kind of maybe erased that symbolic aspect of water and the kind of this magical quality of relating with it. This is in a way I'm delving into that as well, and how this, let's say, these faces could carry this load, this symbolic load.
So this project could extend for many years. How long do you plan on this going on? This sounds like a body of research and a way of working you could do for quite a while.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I'd like to take on this massive project, but then this is an exhaustible project as water itself, but the first iteration will be ready in autumn this year. I'll present it in some spaces in Madrid, so then it will obviously will carry on, and it will kind of leak into other projects, but I can see myself working on this for a long time now. I like to kind of start in these very long-term projects and then find different iterations or deadlines in which to produce works from them. But for me, in works are never finished in that sense, or they kind of carry on appearing or cannibalizing in themselves, so then they keep on living through different iterations.
And in the autumn potentially in 2021 we're talking about, where would that be? Would you be exhibiting or showing this in a nonprofit or a gallery? What kind of space?
Yeah, I mean there's a few spaces I have in mind, mostly nonprofit, like there could be some institutions interested, but I don't want to give myself too tight of a deadline, not to rush. And not to kind of, that's been my experience over the last few years. Whenever I did things with very tight deadlines, I was never happy with what came out. So I'm being generous with myself in this project, and I'm working at its own speed, but also having a loose deadline for myself.
Carlos, let me ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment in snow-covered Madrid, or not-quite-covered Madrid?
So I'm reading a bunch of books. It's a very big pile. I'm quite scattered, but there is a link. So I'm reading maybe the book that connects the most with what I've been talking about. It's a book called Sensitive Chaos, and it's by a disciple of Rudolf Steiner, I'm not sure how to describe Rudolf Steiner, because I got to them through biodynamic agriculture and the way they understand the elements and this, the influence of different elements on life and the planet. And here's a fascinating book on the forms that fluids take. And that's called Sensitive Chaos. Also, I'm reading Entangled Life. It's been a slow read. I got it when it was released. It's a book on mycelium and the interconnectedness of many life forms through mycelium. So describing mycelium and fungi as a connective species that was responsible for most of the early life on Earth, and how that's had this kind of networking influence on most of life. And then a bunch of books on biodynamics, which is a specific way of understanding agriculture, which is deeply rooted in alchemy. And again, we come back to this way of describing the world where the elements have a particular agency or particular forces or tendencies that can combine and have effects on the world. So let's see.
That's very interesting. Thank you for saying that. And Carlos, I want to thank you for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and the work you're researching and involved with. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Reinhard. Thanks very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.